the Atlantic Cluster Balloon Crossing is go. AOPA scraps future aviation summits, and the EU backs down on its emissions tax. This is Aero News for Wednesday, September 11th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. As today's AeroCast reached its production deadline, from Caribou, Maine, comes word that cluster balloonist Jonathan Trapp is go for launch on his quest to be the first to cross the Atlantic Ocean under a cluster of what many consider to be toy balloons. No, these are not toy balloons like the ones your kids get at Disneyland, but neither are they designed for manned flight. As a pilot, Trapp has progressed from a four-hour flight sitting in his office chair to simply prove to one of his IT colleagues that the concept can work, to having crossed Lake Michigan, the English Channel, the Alps, and having flown the world's largest cluster of balloons over a house for National Geographic. The Atlantic is his greatest challenge and his greatest dream. A childhood dream, he will tell you. Not long ago, Trapp spoke to ANN about what he hopes to accomplish and why.
To go for it all, right? I mean, to launch from the United States and cross the full great body of water and put down on the continent where there's no asterisks. We're not going from, Canada. St. John's, Newfoundland would be perhaps the easiest place to go from. But that's got an asterisk to it. You're way off in St. John's, Newfoundland. I want to go from the United States and have the system carry me all the way to the continent. France would be an epic scale. And is it about that technical accomplishment? Really, what it's about is living an interesting life. And, you know, we all are growing older. And to have my grandson on my knee and have interesting stories to tell him about the time I crossed the English Channel, the Alps, Lake Michigan, the Atlantic Ocean. That's what it's all about, to live an interesting life.
Although Trapp has already flown the world's largest cluster, this one will be even bigger. 3,000 cubic meters, 105,000 cubic feet, 365 individual gas balloons. The crossing is expected to take 3 to 6 days. Should the flight fail, including the possible loss of his life, as others have died trying to fly across the Atlantic in all manner of aircraft, Trapp knows that many will rush to social media and claim the attempt was pure folly. But he insists it is not. It is possible. And it should also be noted that Trapp is not a lawn chair Larry out for a thrill ride. He has completed every required phase of lighter-than-air pilot training, is a certificated LTA pilot, and with each flight in his career, has built a path of greater and greater accomplishment leading to this final step, where he hopes to make history. Trapp's projected launch time, 1700 Eastern Daylight Time today, September 11th. Godspeed, Jonathan. Aero News will continue in a moment.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, September 11th. I'm Glenn Moyer. And now for today's other big news. AOPA is reporting that it has decided to suspend its annual aviation summits in favor of reaching more members, quote, where they fly, end quote. Now, the aviation summit in Fort Worth, Texas, from October 10th through 12th of this year, will be held as planned and is shaping up to be one of the best ever. But convention plans for 2014 have been canceled. In 2014, AOPA will instead host a series of enhanced pilot town halls and fly-ins. These Saturday events will give members the chance to share in a discussion with Mark Baker and other AOPA leaders, partake in an educational forum, and maybe even enjoy a burger or a hot dog at AOPA's expense. Mark Baker, AOPA's new president and CEO, said, quote, "This decision is about going out to where our members are, maximizing the number of pilots that we reach on an annual basis. And it will also give me a real opportunity to spend quality time with members and seek their honest feedback in a more comfortable and relaxed setting," end quote. AOPA says that more details about next year's pilot town halls and fly-ins, as well as other activities around AOPA's 75th anniversary year, will be released as they become available. The European Union is reportedly ready to bend on its rigid stance on airline emissions by charging airlines only for the portion of their flights that occur in European airspace. That's a major shift in a controversial policy, which originally would have charged airlines for every mile of a flight, regardless of where it originated. Buying Business Travel cites multiple media reports that indicate the compromise was reached in concert with the ICAO, which hopes to craft a global solution that would be acceptable to the world's airlines on an emissions fee. BBT reports that the EU is already charging airlines flagged to European countries for flights within Europe over those airlines' objections. Earlier this year, the EU tried to impose its tax, but many airlines, including those in the U.S. and China, simply refused to report their estimated emissions. Avcor Industries, Inc. reports that it has entered into a settlement agreement with the Cessna Aircraft Company, which settles all outstanding litigation between the two. The settlement requires payment by Cessna of $27,964,513. Business aviation in China and across the Asia-Pacific region reached an important milestone with the recent approval of a core statement of principles for the industry's development by Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Transportation Ministers, or APEC, which will strengthen the foundation and growth of business aviation and the benefits that it brings. That was the report from National Business Aviation Association President and CEO Ed Bolin at a press conference NBAA hosted in Beijing to welcome the new APEC principles. Asia-Pacific nations are among the fastest-growing in the world, with ever-accelerating rates of inbound and outbound investment. The upswing in business activity in the region has increased the demand for prompt, reliable access to business destinations throughout China and across the Asian region. NBAA and the partnering aviation groups present with Bolin in Beijing have been continually working with APEC officials to ensure the guidelines produce the regulatory regime for business aviation to operate in a safe, secure, and standardized manner, which in turn will benefit citizens, companies, and communities across the Asian region. The chair of the House Aviation Subcommittee and a Democrat on the House Transportation Committee have written a letter to the Department of Transportation's Inspector General urging close oversight of the development of a pilot record database called for in the Airline Safety Act. In the letter, Congressman Frank Lobiondo, Republican of New Jersey and chair of the Aviation Subcommittee, and Transportation Committee member Rick Larson, Democrat of Washington, say the FAA has made progress on implementing the requirements of the Airlines Safety Act, including improved pilot training and better processes for managing safety risks. But they add, quote, "Despite these advances, we are concerned about FAA's lack of progress on the development of a pilot records database that will enhance the screening of newly hired pilots. Therefore, we request that your office continue to monitor and examine FAA and industry's progress in implementing the new database of pilot records mandated by the Airline Safety Act," end quote. Finally today, while it seems all too often that it was just yesterday, I'm sure no one listening has forgotten where they were on this day, September 11th, 12 years ago. The National Park Foundation, the official charity of America's national parks, announced today that the capital campaign in support of the Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, is now complete. Its Flight 93 National Memorial capital campaign has raised more than $40 million to establish, design, and build the National Memorial, honoring the 40 passengers and crew of United Flight 93, who fought back against their hijackers on September 11, 2001, preventing a second aerial attack on Washington, D.C. To date, the funds have made possible the construction of the park's Memorial Plaza, Wall of Names, 40 memorial graves, the Field of Honor, and major reforestation of the landscape. Additional construction through 2015 will include a visitor center complex consisting of a permanent artifact exhibition, learning center, and flight path memorial walls. While the National Park Foundation's capital campaign is complete, the foundation has also helped to establish a local philanthropic organization, the Friends of Flight 93 National Memorial, which will continue to fundraise on behalf of the National Memorial to provide support for its operational needs. 9/11/01 was one of those days in history, one we'll never forget, like December the 7th, 1941, November 22nd, 1963. But when I remember 9/11/01, only two words come to mind. Let's roll. I'm Glenn Moyer. As always, I thank you for listening. You're now cleared for departure.